Hello, and welcome to Radio Free Palmer's Mat-Su Borough 2016 election interviews. I'm Kenny Linden, and joining me in the studio today is School Board President Susan Pauger, who is running for the Mat-Su School District School Board District 2 seat. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll dive into our questions. Our theme for these questions is the more things change, the faster they change. So we'll go ahead and dive into our first one. There's a lot of pieces to it, so we can unpack it a little bit as we go as well. How do you see yourself working with others serving on the school board, especially since you are currently the president of the school board? And do you collaborate well across ideological divides? And although local elected positions are considered nonpartisan, how do you view political parties or ideology as influences on the current race?
Well, being the president of the school board, it is my job to make sure all members of the board get heard. That's the main position of the president. You need to make sure everybody gets a chance to speak on their subjects, express their ideas on each item. So right now, I believe, well, at every school board meeting, every board member gets a chance to talk on each topic and get their opinions heard. Right now, our board really kind of mimics the public. We have some ideological divides, but I think we look like our constituents that we represent. We have a couple of more liberal people, a couple more conservative people, and a few people in the middle. So I think we do a really good job right now kind of mimicking what our community looks like.
How do you feel you fit into that?
Well, I'm probably more conservative, on the more conservative side. On our school board right now, of course, all of us are fiscally conservative. When you don't have any money, you have to be fiscally conservative. So I would say that all of us are fiscally conservative, but we have differences of opinion. But when we take a vote, how we vote and how the board has voted and decided, the other members support that vote, even though they might not have agreed when we voted.
And could you speak a little bit to, this is the first election that we've had where instead of electing members at large, we now have districts for the school board. And could you speak to that a little bit, or the dynamics of how that changes the race, or how you're reaching out to a broader swath of?
Last year, the borough voted to district our seats. Before, we used to be at large seats. And so this is our first year of districted seats. What we did is once that passed, we took a look at where our seated board members were living, and we found that only two of us were in the same district, and that's myself and member Michelson. So both of us live in District 2. So this year we are running against each other, so two incumbents running against each other. It's a little uncomfortable. And so District 2, there's two incumbents. The only district that we didn't have a seated school board member to represent was District 5, which is out Kinnick Goose Bay and into Big Lake. So this year, we have a woman from Big Lake. Her name is Yvonne Ruth, and she is running for that school board seat out in District 5.
Thank you. And diving into our next question, I think especially as being an incumbent on the school board, this will be an interesting conversation. How do you reach your constituents, especially those feeling left out of the public policy conversation or those that may feel disenfranchised?
Well, right now, running for election, I'm knocking on an awful lot of doors and getting out to talk with people in the public. But really, our school board meetings are on the radio. People can come and attend any school board meeting, and they do have 3 minutes at the beginning of the meeting and toward the end of the meeting to express their opinions. However, we found that a lot of people would rather send us an email. there's a way you can go on to the district website and send an email to all the school board members. So we do get quite a few emails. People stop me in the grocery store. There are lots of ways for people to participate. And I would really like more people to participate. All the school board members' phone numbers are listed. I work with Boy Scouts, and I do that service in the community or citizenship in the community merit badge. And one of the questions are, what are your obligations as a citizen in your community? And the Boy Scouts always come up with, well, you need to vote. I think there's more than that. You need to let people know how you feel about issues as they come up. You know, your job's not done when you vote. You need to follow the issues. And when it's important to you, just email. It doesn't take much to email. It doesn't take much just to pick up the phone, or if you see someone in your community, say, hey, this is how I feel on this. It doesn't need to be a big, long, drawn-out conversation, and you don't need to make an argument for it. You just need to let people know how you feel. I'm hoping there's not a lot of disenfranchised people out there, because there's lots of opportunity to talk to the school board.
Do you feel like you hear from a particular swath of the community at school board meetings, or through email, or being stopped in the community as well? Or do you think it's a pretty broad swath of the greater school district?
Well, of course, when there's an issue that people really care about, then they're the ones that are sitting in the audience and come up to testify at school board meetings. So we always hear from people who feel a particular way on an issue. Beyond that, we rarely get emails saying, hey, that was a great vote. I really agree with you. So I really don't know how many people are out there listening to school board meetings or paying attention. My friends have told me it's because they're happy with what's going on, so they don't feel like they need to call. But it would sure be nice to have people participate a little bit more and let us know their opinions.
Do you think now with the districting of the school board, it will change how you interact with constituents versus being a member at large, where essentially you're representing the entire constituency, versus now you have District 2?
Well, I think it will be easier for people to look at the website and say, oh, that's my school board member, and then talk to you personally, because they'll know who represents them specifically. My concern is that, you know, we've always been at large, and so many of our decisions are based on what's best for the students, all of the students, not what's best for my school here or my school here. So we haven't had, in the past, we haven't had discussions on, well, you know, I don't think Palmer needs new bleachers. I think my school out here needs this. We've never had those kind of discussions before. We make our plans and vote what's best for children and what's best for our students as a whole. So I am kind of concerned that it may start being more, hey, this is good for my school, I'm going to push for this. Hey, this is good for mine. Strangely enough, our seats, our borough seats, do not follow any pattern of school attendance. So in my area, my son and the children who live in my area go to Colony. But Colony is not inside District 2. So I have students who go to a school that I don't necessarily represent. So it's kind of an odd mixture. And, you know, we have charter schools and kids come from all over the district. So it's it'll be interesting to see how things go. And I hope it doesn't get where board members argue for benefits for their particular schools.
Mm. Thank you. And diving into our next question, what is your stance on term limits? Should the school board discuss it? And Has that come up in the past, or is that a conversation that you've had as a school board member?
Well, I've had that conversation with other people. So some people think that a term limit would be great. I agree that there are some arguments to be made for that. I think if people wanted term limits on the school board, they could do what they did with districting and put it on the ballot, and that would be fine. The school financing and school regulations and curricula and rules, and they're federal and they're state, they're really a complicated issue. And talking with Mr. Michelson, this is his first term, he said it took him a long time to get rolling on that. It's really quite a learning curve. Also, being on the school board takes a good amount of time. It's not just every other Wednesday for a meeting. There are times of the year where it's very, very busy. And I think you have to be ready to dedicate a lot of time and energy to being on the school board. And I just really don't know, compared to other elected positions, the school board is not very glamorous. So I don't know how many people you have out there who are just clamoring to get on the school board.
Do you have a background in education that you feel like feeds into that that information that you bring to the school board? And then also, which term would this be for you?
Well, I do not have a background in education. My mother was a teacher growing up, and my family, it was always assumed as I was growing up that education is very important. And there were five girls in my family, and my father was raised by a single mother back when not very many single women had educations, and my grandmother had a college education. So my father assumed that we would finish high school and go to college. But thinking back on his mother who worked to support him, he made all of the girls have a vocation, some way we could make a living and take care of ourselves. Mm. So I went to vocational school when I was in high school, and then went on to college. And I've just always grown up with the idea that education is important, and important for all of our students, all of society. We can't take care of ourselves and be good, productive members if you're not educated and have skills. Mm-hmm. And it is my fourth term. I would be running for.
Thank you. And diving into our next question, how do you view your relationship with the state as a local policymaker? Do you support being a member of statewide organizations such as the Alaska Association of School Boards? And what would you like to see in the working budget relationship with the state in light of the current fiscal crisis?
Yikes, that's a big question.
It's a big one.
My position as a local policymaker, I have I've worked really hard to be on good speaking terms and knowing our legislators in Juneau. One of the things our school district has done the last few years is we show our legislators the return on investment. You know, it used to be, I think, that sometimes they looked at education like, oh my goodness, it's so expensive. You take up this much of our budget. But we've been able to say, hey, this is what we did. You gave us this grant. This is what we did. So our legislators in the past, when there was more of a budget, have been very generous. We had a legislative grant from a representative at the time, Stoltz, to start our JROTC over at Wasilla High. We had a legislative grant to, we've had a lot of legislative grants that we were able to do things that would be expensive to start out with. And we've got a grant to start it, and then we've just rolled it into our budget as time has gone on. So worked really hard to work with our legislators and show them what we're doing. We have had increased graduation rates, and that's really great for our students, for our community. And it's a proud moment when you can say to your legislators, hey, three of our schools have a 93% graduation rate or above this year. And for Wasilla High, that was quite an improvement. As far as statewide organizations, we are a member of AASB. There was a time where that's the Alaska Association of School Boards. There was a time where we were not members, and we're back members now. It's kind of an expensive organization, and sometimes when I go to their meetings, I'm not quite sure what they do for us. So that is something that our board has already discussed at a couple of meetings, and we'll be looking at that to decide if we're going to stay a member of the AASB. They do a great job doing a boardroom boot camp for completely new board members, kind of walks them through Robert's rules, walks them through how boards participate and get along, and that's a pretty good deal for us. But other than that, I really think it needs some looking at.
I'm curious, especially with this past legislative session, and specifically our Valley delegation, legislating around school education issues. And so I'm thinking specifically about House Bill 156 that went into law in July and was introduced by Representative Wes Keller and Senator Dunleavy. And it was it's a bill that is limiting assessments as well as sex education in local schools. And I'm wondering how that relationship with local Valley legislators played out or is continuing to play out, or if information was exchanged with the school board.
It was kind of a catch-all bill. When I saw the sex education part, actually, I got a few phone calls from other school districts about not having, I think it was aimed probably at Planned Parenthood coming in and teaching in schools, sex education. I called the school district right away, of course, and said, hey, you know, where did this come from? And we do not have people come in and talk in our classes on sex education. I couldn't find an instance. So in talking, I found that there was another school district, another community that asked for that to be included in that kind of catch-all bill. And it wasn't really for our community at all. The way it turned out, or the way the bill ended up, is that the school board needs to approve the health curricula, and that's always been a policy of our school board anyway. So we approved a new health curricula 2 years ago. We had ample time for parents to come in and look at the curricula. We even had the textbooks. Before we decided on the textbook, we had open houses, and we had parents come in and look at the textbooks. I went to the open house, and there were some parents come in and talk about the textbooks. We in our school district always will have had a policy to alert parents before we come to that specific unit. And interestingly enough, the books we chose, the sex ed unit is not in the book. It's an additional booklet that goes with it. So it's not like a student's going to take home the book and flip through to the sex ed paragraph and read it anyway. It's kind of like a little separate unit. I think maybe because around the country, that's always been kind of a hot topic. So parents get notified when they're teaching that. We don't have people come in and teach. However, in doing my research, I have found that public health nursing sometimes comes in, the state public health nursing will sometimes come in and talk to students. Otherwise, it's our teachers who we pay to teach, and so they stand up and teach that.
Thank you. And moving on to our next question, what is your perspective on the way the school board currently functions? And if you believe there should be changes, what, if any, do you propose?
I think right now our school board functions fairly well. We get along well, even when we're not agreeing on things, we're still agreeable. I have never seen a hissy fit with our seated board right now. Nobody gets angry. Nobody throws things. And I've seen that at school boards before. But right now, our seated school board works very well together.
Great. And our last question, what do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience?
Well, I thought about that quite a while. There are some issues that come up, and my own conscience just says, "Oh no, this is how it is." I do, of course, look for public input, and there are some issues where, kind of, you know, undecided. But usually, what I end up doing is calling a friend, calling a constituent, calling somebody. Sometimes I call quite a few people and say, hey, here's the issue. What do you guys think? So I do call people and ask for some consultation. I usually clarify with the school district if I have questions, of course, but then I really talk to people. They voted me in. I represent them. So it's important that I get input from people. A lot of times my first thought on it sometimes ends up being what everybody else thinks on it too. Mm.
Have you run into that where your first thought on it is not what constituents are valuing or are concerned about or raising?
Well, not very often. I remember years ago, our school board president at the time called a special meeting for us to vote on a band travel outside to the presidential inauguration. Mm-hmm. A special meeting was called, and on the topic was if we could fund the band to travel to the presidential inauguration. I thought, wow, that's such an opportunity. You know, that's great. But then I thought, oh, I don't know if we could spend public funds, you know, sending a handful of children, you know, I don't know if that's a good use. So I was really torn on that. But my gut was like, no, you can't send students, you know. Mm. Education dollars can't be spent on a trip for that reason. So I called around and I polled. Pulled my friends, you know, called people and just said, hey, what do you think? And it was really kind of funny, the answers I got. I had a friend who said, oh, yeah, I think you should send him. My son's in that band next year. And maybe he can go on a trip. Mm. And I thought, oh, dear. So I did vote against that. But that was, and that was years ago, but that's the one that comes right to mind, you know, me calling a lot of people. What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much. We are at the end of our time. Any couple last words or?
No, I don't really have any except for to encourage people to go out and vote. There's a few issues on this ballot, but it is local. And I think people have probably had enough of politics and so maybe aren't paying so much attention to the local stuff. Mm. So I just want to encourage people to get out and vote on the 4th.
On the 4th, yes. Again, this is our election coverage for the Mat-Su School District School Board and District 2 with Susan Pauscher. And get out and vote on Election Day next Tuesday, October 4th. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you.